Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this special edition of the Rebel Report. Obviously not live tonight, but wanted to bring you an extra edition, the opponent preview, volume two, same guest, same team, totally different circumstances. But my name is Michael Borky. I'm really glad that you are here. While you're here, don't forget to subscribe. And if you like what you hear, go over to your podcast app, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report and subscribe there as well. And leave a rating and a review. Also, leave a comment and a like and hit that notification bell so you know when we go live. Just a reminder, usually do lives on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Don't know if I'll be getting back in time because we're doing the radio show live from Oxford on Thursday. I don't know, I'm going to be back in time to be live, but I will bring you something. We've got a lot of guests, a lot of good interviews coming for those two shows, and I'm going to put those on this feed for you guys as well. So be on the lookout for that. Probably not going live on Thursday night, though, so just keep an eye out for that. But this is your Ole Miss opponent preview edition, and we're going to bring that to you here in just a second after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the website. They're off of Exit 40 in Brookhaven. If you want a great car buying experience, you don't need to live in the area to have one of those. You can do that at Toyota of Brookhaven. Check out their online inventory before you go. And also, just know that they'll give you $1,000 off the top on me if you just simply tell them that I sent you. Check them out at Toyota of Brookhaven, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. She's on the radio broadcast for Tulane. She also writes and covers Tulane as well. Her name is Maddie Hudak, and here is my conversation with her from a little bit earlier today, previewing this game from the Green Wave perspective. Here that is right now.
Game as a head coach and another coaching Tulane as the head coach of Florida.
Yeah, it is a really odd situation. I think that as much as, you know, the Ole Miss has already gone to their next coach and he's in place, you know, I think Tulane has a lot more stability going into this one despite having their head coach be moving on, just because, you know, I think that they've all kind of locked in on finishing the season out together, and it does feel, you know, more normal than I think it should. But then you see kind of pictures of him in a Florida uniform and you suddenly realize how bizarre this whole thing is. It really is, you know, just an odd showcase of the state of this chaotic sport.
It does have a playoff team, and it appears from our vantage point, you're obviously much closer to it than us. It seems like everybody around there is really satisfied, though, with how Summerall has handled this process.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could write a book on how well he's gone about this, and I think it starts back in July when, you know, he addressed this up front with the team, and then, you know, after the UTSA loss, said that he kind of started addressing with them on a more, you know, weekly basis, just to make sure that the outside noise, you know, wasn't going to be a reason that the season kind of went downhill for them. And so I think by approaching it that way, it kind of made it less of a shock by the time it got there. But, you know, everything that he's done since, and that includes, you know, getting on the Zoom call with recruits at Tulane, telling them to stay with the program, not trying to poach any of them over to Florida, telling the guys not to enter the transfer portal or try to, you know, talk about Florida or anything right now, and then donating $100K to the NIL fund. I mean, it's been as, you know, all class as you could ask for.
After that loss on Thursday, October 30th to UTSA, did you think that this team would end up where they are right now?
You know, I thought that it would matter a little more in the college football playoff rankings. I think what they did earlier in the year mattered a lot, and what they did the week following UTSA mattered a lot. But I kind of always had this feeling that that game was going to happen. And I think that if it hadn't happened against UTSA, I'm not sure they would have won the next game. And I'm pretty sure Coach Summerall has pretty much said that. You know, I think that when you look at what's the most valuable game of the season for Tulane, oddly, I would say that loss to the Roadrunners, because it just showed them how quickly things can really spiral out of control and how quickly their dreams can kind of slip away from them. And you've just seen them really lock in and play a completely different brand of inspired football ever since. But, yeah, I mean, you were always kind of afraid that that kind of game could happen again. And it's just been great to see them, you know, completely again finish out like champions.
We've obviously seen these two teams play each other on the field that they're going to be playing on Saturday. And it was a pretty lopsided Ole Miss win. Let's start with the quarterback, though. Retzlaff was that was his worst game of the season, I would assume. He was, what, 0 for his first 10 passing. What is different about him than the guy that Ole Miss fans saw back earlier this season?
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely don't think he can get worse than how that was. He was actually 0 for 11, and he was one away from a school record of incompletions. It's not really a record that you want to be holding, but you know, I think that you really just look at the fact that he had showed up on campus about a month before that, and the quarterback competition for Tulane, you know, he showed up and he wasn't QB1. He was kind of QB2 behind Brendan Sullivan at minimum, splitting reps in an open quarterback competition. Once Sullivan went down, they kind of switched over to Retzlaff, but that gave him about 2 weeks of training camp reps. And then you look back at the earlier wins for Tulane, a lot of it was Jake Retzlaff being a really good rusher, and so I think it all kind of broke apart when he had to get the passing game going, had no time on task with these receivers, and they've just spent so much time together, developed chemistry, and also got to know each other as people. You know, he said, he's like, I barely knew all of them, you know, my teammates' names at that point, and it's hard to kind of rally around a guy that you're still getting to know and hadn't really gone through any adversity yet with, and that all kind of punched him in the face in that Ole Miss game. But, I think that, again, the offense as a whole, Retzlaff, but also the receivers have also stepped up so much that, you know, I expect the passing game at minimum to be, you know, night and day from that first game.
And Pete Golding has made reference a few times now. I assume he's using it as motivation for his team. There were a handful of fourth and shorts that Tulane was not able to convert that, according to Ole Miss's head coach, would have changed the complexion of that game if those plays go differently, too.
Yeah, they were 0-3 on fourth down. They were also 6 of 15 on third down. And then you're not even having to kind of worry about those situations. And that was some of the worst execution on the day for this team. A lot of dropped passes that were in the receiver's hands. And so, you know, leading up to that, and then how much confidence they would be able to have on those fourth downs. But, you know, they held the defense, held Ole Miss to a shutout in the third quarter, and I think it could have absolutely been more of a contest if they were able to kind of put some points up in the first half, but that's definitely a key to victory for Tulane this time is those critical moments they completely dropped the ball on, and those are the moments that can often be game changers.
What is something from the previous game? Because Pete Golding was asked about, well, what can you learn from the film from back then, and it was really how they are going to try to stop us, but even then, it's like so much has changed. But what is something that happened in that game, in your opinion, that really is unchanged, that either Ole Miss still has the big advantage, or what is still similar about this team then to now?
Well, you know, for one, Trinidad Chambliss is a mobile quarterback. That's something that Tulane struggles with a little bit. And, you know, the size of the SEC left, you know, the outside tackles isn't going to change in this game. I think that Tulane's kind of plan of attack and confidence definitely, you know, is going to be the same. And something that I think that they'll really have to remember is they, you know, ultimately held Lacy to, I think, like 68 rushing yards in that game and were able to control the line of scrimmage relatively well on both sides. You know, what I also think is not going to change is the speed and the size and the talent of the wide receivers. That seemed to stun our secondary a lot. But that was also, you know, both of our cornerbacks, our fourth collegiate start, and really just having no time on task. To me, that's the position that you need the most experience in. And so they're still going to be challenged in the same way, but I think just a lot more confidence and understanding of those routes and knowing that they're probably going to get burned the same way that they were the first time, but they have to just keep playing every down, you know, with the same approach.
The ever unpopular two-part question. So I tell you Ole Miss wins in a similar way that they did back earlier this season. You tell me why. I tell you this game is a lot closer than it was earlier this season. You tell me why.
So if it goes the way that it goes the first game, in terms of, I'm trying to think of, you know, what to, but it's going to be just Tulane, again, really beating themselves. And again, not executing on those moments, not getting any turnovers, having a bunch of pre-snap and procedural penalties that also didn't help a lot of those drives. And just really, you know, it was one of the quieter sidelines that I've been on. And so if they don't really see it within themselves, I think that, you know, if Ole Miss is able to get out to an early start, it could go downhill if they don't have that mental toughness. But that's exactly why I think it will be closer than people expect, is just, you know, we've talked a lot about how much it's changed on the field for Tulane and, you know, Jake Retzloff and all of that. But, you know, again, we were trying to kind of talk about these revenge games this season and the return of Darian Mensah and Duke and getting back at Army for the conference championship loss last year. Half these guys weren't on the team last year. And so there really wasn't any hard times that they had to go through. And again, you go back to the Ole Miss loss, you go back to the UTSA loss. Those really did something to this team. And so I think that that's really going to be what the difference maker is here. And in this odd way, they seem to kind of rally around the fact that John Sumrall is leaving. Like, it seems to have given them almost more energy to really finish this out with him. And so I just think that Tulane's mentality is in a completely different ballpark, and that's why I'll be closer.
Got about a minute and a half left here. I saw somebody put out on Twitter earlier that donations from this period this year to last year are up almost 400%. How big is this moment for not just Tulane football, but the institution in Uptown New Orleans?
I mean, it's huge. You also look at the fact that Tulane's guaranteed $8.1 million regardless of the result because they were one of the fourth highest-ranked conference champions, and the American has, you know, a revenue-sharing system based on performance. So that, you know, they take home a lot here. And then you also see the buy-in from the donors. And I remember after the Cotton Bowl, there was such a spike in applications to the program. And it just is. It really positions the university. They're one of 12 teams in the nation right now that are getting massive publicity at a level they've just never seen before. And I do ultimately think that, you know, regardless of the result, again, this is a history-changing moment for Tulane Athletics. And it's good to see the buy-in from fans and, you know, the coach that's leaving as well donating to our talent fund.
Hope you got a lot out of that. And before we continue, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Anywhere in the state of Mississippi, if your business needs office technology, copiers and printers, mail machines, cloud storage, data security, if it's technology in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out at absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. They also have local loan servicing and decision making. So you sit down with somebody face to face instead of getting on the phone or talking to somebody on Zoom out of state, something like that, because they make you their priority. That's what they do at Priority One Bank. Tulane's going to come into this game, you would think anyway, with nothing to lose anyway. The pressure is totally off of them in this game, and a good bit of pressure, as we've talked about before, on Ole Miss. I don't know if that lack of pressure and that looseness can create a situation that overcomes what was a physical mismatch that Ole Miss had over Tulane in the last time that these teams played. But I do expect a better shot from the Green Wave for sure. They're not as bad as they played last time they showed up to Oxford, but still a tall task ahead of them, no doubt. Also, the injury report is out. Or the student-athlete available, whatever. Ole Miss's is clean for the most part. Now, Antonio Kite listed as questionable. Daquan Wright has been limited in practice. He's listed as probable. He's going to play. Trace Bruckler as well, also listed as probable. When it comes to out for Ole Miss, it's just Cedric Beavers, Raymond Collins, and John Wayne Oliver, none of which you expected anything from in this game. So at this point in the season, a pretty clean bill of health for Ole Miss in this game. For Tulane, one name in particular, Bryce Bohannon, listed as doubtful for this game. He has not played since November 15th. His last game was against Florida Atlantic. He's a good player, good receiver, not their leading receiver, but is somebody that Tulane certainly would prefer to have, if that makes sense. And he's being described as like a culture leader on that team. So listed as doubtful for this game, and we'll see what happens as the week goes on, of course. But more importantly, pretty clean bill of health for Ole Miss going into this game. This has been a pretty darn healthy football team, all things considered. And that obviously benefits them going into this game as well. So I hope you enjoyed the opponent preview, the little extra episode. I'll be back with you something tomorrow. Will not be live, but you will get an episode tomorrow. Yeah, you don't have time to go live, but you will get something. I'll post it. Make sure the notifications are on, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Y'all have a good one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.